This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we review round one of the NRL. Mums start making porn, and the NRL goes 6 days without a scandal. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You're playing games with my heart. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. You can find me on Twitter at former_legend. You can find the bloke to my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who this week knocked back Channel 9 after they approached him to join the Today Show as their roving weatherman. He's proud to declare George Pell is more innocent than Bill Cosby, but not as guilty as Michael Jackson. And tonight, he's wearing a Hurricanes ribs bib. Welcome, Sid.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's not the first time that the Today Show has tried to poach me, but I pointed out to them that Full Credit to the Boys has had more entries to Grab a Mirror today than the Today Show has had viewers all last week. I've had a few discussions with people during the week about this whole Michael Jackson situation. A lot of people still say that he was just a child in a man's body that didn't have a childhood, when really, he was a pedophile in a plastic body that robbed others of their childhood, guilty as sin.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Vivian Chins.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
Jeez, we're organised.
Yeah, we're off to a flyer. Pedophile joke. Tick. What's next? Any dick jokes?
I would imagine.
Yeah, good.
Biggest story this week comes from news.com.au, and it's mums made a porno film their kids could watch, Sid.
This is no kind of good.
Oh, I've got a good story. Five mums, I just thought about it. Five mums. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, I don't want to hear it. Keep going.
You ever made a... Doesn't matter. Five mums have directed a porn film they would be happy for their kids to watch as part of a new Channel 4 show. Already bordering on a bit Rolf Harris-ish. This is
a bit strange.
In Mums Make Porn, a show on Channel 4, the women who have teenage kids create their own sex video after being horrified. Horrified, Sid. I mean, very emotional language.
Strong words.
Although, I've got to say, I was horrified one time when my internet dropped out halfway through watching U-Porn.
Did you ring 000?
I rang everyone.
That was a good tweet of yours during the week.
Which one was that?
Yeah, stop when social media went down, people were ringing 000. You're like, whoa, wait till Pornhub goes down.
Horrified by the hardcore porn available online for free. Now, according to The Mirror, Sarah Louise, a mother of six, well, she's not afraid of porn, let's be honest, from North Wales, said, if that was the first time I'd seen anything about sex, I'd be petrified. I just thought all of a sudden that I was going to throw up. I don't know what she's watching.
Sounds German.
Maybe a touch Bukkake, but nonetheless, we need to show kids that there's something else other than this horrible shit we see on the internet. If my son treated a woman like that, I would get Penrith to sign him straight. I would kick his ass to Kingdom Come. Kingdom Come, great movie, 3.5 dildos. Porn doesn't represent normal women. The actors and the actresses they use mislead kids. They need to realise it's not normal, Sarah Louise said. Bit wordy, Sarah Louise, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I tuned out. Let's get your cans out.
You know what you need? It doesn't matter. Another mum, Sarah, another Sarah, was so upset and disgusted by what was available online, she quit the television show to return to her fluffer job. The mums worked with industry experts and were given all the tools they needed to make the movie.
Wow.
Really.
It writes itself.
They had complete control from writing and casting to directing and editing their mum-approved porno film. The group's mission was to create a film that not only could be viewed as pornography, but also promoted healthy attitudes towards sex and relationships for the next generation. Titled Lord of the Rings Backdoor Bandit, the movie has been panned by the porn industry, AVN, as low-level smut with unnecessary midget scenes, and it will be aired in the final of a three-part show. The mums will hold a viewing party. No thanks. It's a no from me. For their family, friends, and most importantly, their kids. Again, I've got a story. Stats suggest the majority of children have been exposed to pornography by their early teens. Around 65% of 15 to 16-year-olds reported seeing pornography, as did 28% of 11 to 12-year-olds. Now, statistics also show that 100% of former legends have viewed porn today in the car at the front of Sid's place 20 minutes ago.
Using my Wi-Fi, no doubt.
She's, I thought you were going to say your wife. I was going to say, hey, he's up.
Look, Mums Make Porn sounds like the worst show since, remember when Warnie had his own show?
Oh, yeah, that was no good.
It lasted two episodes.
Sam and the Fat Man.
In fact, I'd rather watch Warnie and Liz Hurley go at it than watch this shite. In fact, I'd rather watch Warnie and Bryn Adelston go at it. Remember when she texted Warnie, I want to devour you.
No, he texted her, I'm going to devour you.
Oh, whatever. It's a terrible memory.
Here's a three-sitting feed, that one.
This sounds like a sick joke. I read this, that the mums are actually starring in this porn film. Have I read that wrong?
Oh, Jesus, I don't know.
Imagine going to school on Monday and all the kids have seen your parents' sex tape. But apparently, this idea has grown some legs in Australia. The Penrith Panthers are going to do something similar to educate their players about porn. Ivan and his missus will show Nathan and all the boys their skill at a video session this week at the Panthers Centre of Excellence. And even Gus has offered to film himself with Keith Galloway.
And let's be honest, Jared Haynes been pushing this sort of thing on kids for a couple of years now. From credit to the boys. Mum's accidental hack for son's X-rated relaxation station goes viral, Sid.
Good.
A mum's Kmart hack has gone viral after internet users pointed out it was actually X-rated. The Aussie woman took to a Facebook group for Kmart fans. Are you on that, Sid?
Yeah.
To share the relaxation station.
What's a relaxation station?
She created for her teenage son. I love this hack, she said. I just bought a Kmart soap dispenser and a bathroom tray and to use as my son's relaxation station. He likes to watch internet TV in bed and he has a chronic runny nose.
This is awkward.
I think it's the air conditioning, and he had problems with dry skin, so he goes through heaps of hand cream. Uh-oh. The thoughtful mum went on to explain that she put sorbeline into a stylish marble soap dispenser and popped a box of tissues on the tray to make his setup look nicer. It was completed with a TV remote control holder.
What a great mum. Here's a wank station. Now go to bed and watch the video that mummy and daddy just made of mummy giving daddy a rim job.
Now he's got everything he uses all in one spot, she said. However, the post was soon flooded with over 1,000 comments as viewers were convinced the setup was a masturbation station. But after declaring he needed tissues and moisturiser for his runny nose beside his bed, and others pointed out that his ailment didn't sound too legit. I don't think he uses the tissues for a runny nose, one observant fella said on the post, which was shared at 11 p.m. on Wednesday night. Sounds like a teenage boy. Tissues, hand lotion, wow. Another one said.
We've got some detectives out here.
She's jumping to conclusions, yeah. I'll tell you. It ain't his nose on his face that's runny, the original post said.
Wow.
Is an improvement on your relaxation station I just seen in your bedroom as I walked past. How you managed to fit a diver's helmet, a ferret, a tub of margarine and a rubber glove on a stable table was an engineering miracle.
How you still keep getting into my bedroom is a mystery. Stay out of there.
I just love rolling around in your bed nude.
I know you do. It's no good. The stains you leave.
A helpful user wrote, "Oh goodness, that ain't snot in the tissue, my friend." Yeah. What an amazing idea to disguise the masturbation station, said another. Jeez, they're just hammering this poor lady. Not everyone is convinced the mum was being authentic, with some calling it out as a prank. However, most disagreed. This post just broke the internet, someone said. How often's that been used, that phrase? I broke the internet.
Yeah, broke the internet.
Adding a stream of splash emojis alongside it. Another one said, "I'm actually dying." Some saw the positives in disguising the X-rated idea, calling it very thoughtful. This is what all our sons need in their rooms, and Mum agreed. As a mother of three boys, I'd like to do this in the near future. There are some fruitcakes out there. comments on the post have now been disabled, but not before 1,000 comments were left.
Yeah, I like that. Good on you, Mum. Thanks, Mum.
And shout out to Mrs. Sid if she's listening. Full credit to the boys.
Stop sending me those videos. I'm not watching them.
Send them, Rand. I'll have a look. Penis festival attracts thousands as giant jizz rockets paraded through the streets.
A penis festival?
That's right. Yeah, thousands of people have flocked to a huge festival in Japan, and it is dedicated entirely to penises.
Yeah, it's not that huge.
Penai, I think you'll find that is. Yeah. Enormous members, multicolored phallic decorations, and food shaped like the male anatomy all feature at the penis festival, which is also known as Honen Sai. And in Australia, the Penis Festival obviously operates under a different name. See, it's called the Elvis Festival. It's in parks. Now, every year in March, residents and visitors of the Aichi Prefecture in Japan flock to Komaki near, Jesus, there's some names in here, north of Nagoya.
Don't think you've got one right yet.
To see a giant phallus created through the streets.
Now, it's not that giant.
The culmination of this parade every year is the final float, which is Sid Punce walking with no pants behind a box trailer carrying his massive trouser gherkin.
Yeah. That's healed up, by the way, thanks to everyone who sent their best wishes.
Obviously, you'll see a couple of cameramen just popping their heads out every now and then to see where they're up to in the parade. Men of an unlucky age carry...
What does that mean?
Carry a 2-meter penis carved from Japanese cypress and offer it to the shrine with prayers for a good harvest, flourishing of all things natural and fertility to loved ones. This can be incredibly hefty, weighing upwards of 400 kilos.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty big.
With a circumference of more than 100 centimeters, yeah. And is the one to which most tributes and prayers are paid. Now, meanwhile, men of a lucky age walk behind the huge phallus with the unlucky men. They carry buckets of Greek yogurt, which they playfully share with the crowd, Sid. Now, lucky guests...
I don't know if that happens.
Lucky guests are able to give the wooden penis a kiss on the tip. And lucky, that's right. And lucky listeners will also be able to do something similar at our mid-year live show, Sydney. Not only is the star of the show Sid's giant penis, but the streets are awash with all things phallic and yogurt. Visitors to the festival tucked into chocolate-dipped bananas, uncircumcised hot dogs, and artfully designed pancakes.
Tummy pancakes.
And to celebrate former legend, visitors are encouraged to roll their thumbs over small acorns. Aside from the edible goodies, there are also several other fun souvenirs you can pick up. Most popular are the candies and wooden carvings that you can, but you can also get vegetable or fruit phalluses as well. Visitors can pray to the many structures in hopes of having a child, meeting someone lovely, or having a bountiful harvest.
Or just hoping to get kissed on the tip.
The festival begins each year on March 15 at Tagata Shrine, where priests have salted the road to purify the path to those carrying large penises. Now, given the current political climate, Sid, I'm not sure priests need to get involved in any way whatsoever in this one.
Well, when I went there, the priests were just sitting on the side of the road with big boxes of popcorn in their lap that you could...
sit next to them and...
could help yourself anytime.
NRL News, and we start the week, Sid. Now, according to the second biggest Cronulla apologist behind Sid Punce, yep. Buzz Rothfield, he's reported that the Cronulla Sharks have secured their future with a $40 million windfall, Sid.
Yeah, well, let me read you an article from Buzz Rothfield.
Oh, good.
Here it is.
It's good that you can do this because I'm blocked from reading this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've always wondered.
So here it is. The future of the Cronulla Sharks has been secured with approval for a $300 million leagues club development. This approval allows the Sharks to immediately pay off more than $10 million in debt owed to St. George Bank. That article was written in 2012, former.
Right, that's good news.
We've now got many years later another article saying that their future has been secured with a $40 million windfall from the same scheme.
Same, and also the same writer.
And at least $9 million of this 40 will be used to pay off their debts that they have incurred since last time. The club is looking at a loss for 2019 of $3 million after a loss of over $3 million last year and over $4 million in 2017.
Don't forget, every club is given enough money to cover their salary cap.
Yes, this by is entirely NRL. True. And Cronulla seem to be given tens of hundreds of millions of dollars every year and still go backwards. It's got me a little baffled.
Well, not only that, I know that this $40 million windfall is linked back to building more units on their swampy marsh over there in
good spot
near Shark Park. And right now, as a man who likes to make money, there's no better time to try and sell units in Sydney.
Absolutely. It's a winner.
ARL Supremo, Peter Beattie, has departed Twitter after a Laurie Nichols gaffe, Sid.
Full credit to the boy's very own,
Peter Beattie. Did you see this? Did you see?
I did see this.
So, obviously, there's a Twitter account that is like basically a tribute to Laurie Nichols. And they tweeted Peter Beattie. Peter Beattie wrote back, "Good to see you looking well."
Yes.
Now, whether he was joking or whether he was serious, it's not the worst thing I've ever read on Twitter, not the biggest mistake I've ever read on Twitter. It's actually not even the biggest mistake I've ever heard Peter make.
It's not even the biggest mistake I've made on Twitter today.
No, today, earlier this morning. And I actually think there were certain journalists, I don't want to name them, I'll just throw their...
they've got you blocked anyway.
I'll throw their initials up. Tony Adams, the mole. Buzz Rothfield, Dean Ritchie, all celebrated this...
Wait a minute. I think I know who you're talking about with those clues.
This massive error, this gaffe that they all celebrated as one in unison of calling Peter Beattie a dickhead and not knowing that how could he not know Laurie Nichols died 19 years ago and everything else. Well, mate, not everyone knows everything. And to be honest with you, does it really matter? The fact was, for all his faults, and he had plenty, he was quite interactive on Twitter with fans. And that's quite refreshing in itself. It's something that a few other people could take the lead and also do. Todd Greenberg, for one.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this was celebrated in such a fashion. And I know a lot of fans, I was reading the replies to the Mole's tweets, they were calling it the Mole as being the dickhead in all of this. And as were Dean Ritchie, he was called a dickhead for celebrating it. It's not the biggest story. In a week of absolutely cracking footy, with no refereeing blunders, I've got to remind you, this is the biggest story to come out on a Monday morning. It baffles me. And if you are a journo and you don't want to be known as a crisis merchant, then don't engage in any of this shit. This is a non-story. It's not a great story. It's a non-story.
They all want to be known as crisis merchants.
But why?
You heard Breeny last week, who is not a crisis merchant, but he openly said that he writes a story about something that's interesting in rugby league, and others will put a crisis story out, and it does 10 times the clicks. It's a sad state of affairs.
I want to give a shout out here while we're doing shout outs. I've got another great shout out later on the show.
I'll be the judge if it's great.
What's the Twitter account where they report on all the good news stories from rugby league?
News.com.
No, at Buzz Rothfield.
At Footy Smiles, I think, is the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, run by the biggest tiger. Now, that has a bunch of stories. They're all good news stories. And, you know, in certain times, it's quite good to just remember that there are some good shit happening. And we actually touched on some good stuff later on the show. But, again, that account, whilst it's a good news thing and I think it's much needed, I also think it won't be hit like something like an NRL rumours-based kind of website or...
It's unfortunate.
Fucking NRL memes will be hit. So, you know, that's the unfortunate part of all of this. Broncos enforcer Matt Lodge and Manly prop Aiden Fanua-Blake were both charged with dangerous contact for cannoning into the legs of opposing kickers Cameron Munster and Benji Marshall, respectively.
Leave Benji alone.
Yeah, he should be in a bubble. This is the one thing that, in the midst of a horrendous off-season for the NRL, this is one of the rules that we probably should have looked at over the off-season, except we're too busy worried about porn tapes and blokes putting doodles into schooner glasses.
Well,
this
is a rule.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But we should have been looking at it mandatory 4 weeks or something making it a big sort of deal. But
like Matt Lodge, he's got a level head on his shoulders. He's just come out.
It's very
totally
rare for
out of character.
Tonight's the night your knees are going to die. Yeah. As someone said, treated like a New York door. Treated his legs like a New York door.
Everyone's Twitter fingers were just going nuts as soon as that tackle happened.
But yeah, we don't need that. We don't need kickers being attacked like
that.
Unless their name's Mitchell Moses. A number of Mellies, Donnybrooks broke out during the game between South Sydney and the Roosters, with Cody Walker and Cooper Cronk butting heads on one occasion.
Yep.
Following the game, Walker was accused of being disrespectful by his opposite number six, Luke Keary, while also adding the Rabbitohs star will get what's coming to him if he keeps it up. Imagine Luke Keary threatening you.
Oh, I'd be shit scared. But yeah. I'd take them to task here. Show some respect. What a load of shit.
Yeah.
When you're on the field, it's
no
game on.
Nah, no
I
respect.
Love the banter afterwards. Yeah, he'll get it next game. Good. There should be more of that.
Yeah.
Players should be talking like that.
By the way, the next time they face each other is round 25. So.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was like last round,
hopefully
round 26.
Hopefully it's like a bottle of Coke and they're just shaking it up and down until round 25.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Show him some more respect. Piss off.
No need for respect.
Rip his ears off.
Roosters firebrand Latrell Mitchell also admitted the Bunnies players got under his skin and it almost came to blows late in the piece.
Really?
Yeah. The Seagulls game against the Roosters this weekend in Christchurch will still go ahead despite the atrocities that occurred in that city last Friday. In fact, Manly are set to fly to New Zealand early in the week in an effort to lend a hand to the community there who are still struggling with the grief of the mass shooting that took place. Now, Lyle Gorman, the Manly CEO, said he had been in regular contact with the Christchurch mayor about the game taking place, as well as trying to assist in any way. Gorman said that Coach Des Hasler texted me 9 p.m. on Friday asking what we can do while we're over there.
Yeah, this is a great story. Should be on at Footy Smiles. Probably is.
It probably is, yeah.
They had this game planned, and they had planned the Manly Club to go over there anyway and get involved in the community. It's the third time they've taken it to Christchurch.
Yes.
It's been a few years now. Yeah. But now they're going that extra step for what's happened over there, and that's a great thing and should be reported on widely.
Absolutely. Young Parramatta player Reed Mahoney helped a car crash victim following the Eels game against Penrith on Sunday afternoon. Mahoney and his mother were on their way home from the Panther Stadium when they witnessed an accident on the M4 motorway and they stopped to give a hand.
That's nice.
Yeah, Footy Smiles.
Good on him.
At Footy Smiles. Don't forget to follow it, at Footy Smiles. 2019 Round 1, which was Amateur Porn Round, Sid. And it began
great initiative.
Began on Thursday night. Let's go to the video. The Storm beat the Broncos at Ronron Kutut Park 22 points to 12. Kenny and Jesse Bromwich brothers each scored.
Who wrote that?
Each scored a try as Storm kicked off their 2019 campaign in style with a 10-point win over the Broncos. The last time the brothers both grabbed a try, Sid, was in a match against Parramatta in 2013.
Well, anyone can score a try against Parramatta. That's not a big deal. This was a good showing from the Storm. The Broncos were outplayed, I thought, for most of the game. They stifled the Broncos' attack. They looked ordinary at times. The Storm simply, I think, outclassed them in this one.
Yeah. You have to go back to 2001 to find the last time the Storm lost a season opener, as the Statsman reported last week.
Yeah.
And the Broncos have won only two of their past 18 games against Melbourne, and the Brisbane side were up against it from the outset as gun centre James Roberts left the field very early with a lower back problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, the stats man Andrew Ferguson pointed out that the Storm never lose their opening game, and that's why I tipped them, and for all of you following my tips this week, I had a successful week on the punt.
Did you?
I'm coming 135th out of 180 in the full credit to the boys tipping comp. Listeners to the show will realise I picked 5 out of 8, but stupid fat fingers here, when he put it into the app, got 3 out of 8.
Cool story, bro.
But Sid's rough punt last week got up. I'll talk about that later.
Good.
Paying big dollars.
Despite being in a beaten side, according to brother and sister workers down at the full credit of the boys' backyard stats lab, Junkyard Dog and his less threatening sister, Pat the Cat, it was a great start to 2019 for Brisbane winger Corey Oates, who scored a double to keep his team in the game as he also ran 221 running metres in 17 hit-ups.
Yeah, he kept them in the game, Corey Oates, with two tries in about 2 minutes to give the Broncos a sniff. But the Storm hit back and it was all over, and the Broncos now remain winless in 2019.
Mm. Friday, the Knights out-muscled the Sharks at Ronald McDonald Stadium, 14 points to 8. Now, in the first 40 minutes of this game, there was a grand total of 0 points scored, Sid.
Yep.
And by the 72nd minute, these two teams were locked up once again after a controversial penalty try to the Sharks after Siona Katoa was judged to have been taken out by Edric Lee. But Lee made up for his error 3 minutes later when he swooped on a Chad Townsend long pass and ran 85 metres to seal the game with a brilliant intercept try. Now, after the game, Lee, a former Sharkie, said, I didn't know the move until I replayed it in my head at half time, and I recognised the shape and recognised the personnel who started it with Andrew Fifita running that shape. So I knew the shape and managed to back myself, and it is what it is. It was unbelievable. Once I snagged the intercept and managed to run 20, I heard the crowd, and the crowd took over, and I had a big smile on my face.
Yeah, well, there were a few misses in this game, a couple of bomb tries. But with 12 minutes to go, neither team had crossed the try line. But what a last 12 minutes we saw. It wasn't all that long ago that a referee, if he wasn't 150% sure that a player would have definitely scored a try 300% of the time, he would never have awarded a penalty try. But now it seems like it's just the vibe of it. Near enough is good enough. And so it was. Sione Katoa was awarded a penalty try to lock this game up. I want to ask the stats man, Andrew, what's the longest streak of a team only scoring penalty tries? Because Cronulla have only scored one try this year and it was a penalty try.
Great question.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
I reckon the streak would be one.
Yeah, I'm tipping that would be right. Despite the NRL media creaming the collective genes over Kalen Ponga, it was another recruit who immediately won the hearts of Knights fans with a dominant performance. Now, according to Full Credit the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab undercover operatives, Bond, James Bond, and his Mexican cousin, the Dirty Sanchez, Dave Clemmer ran for 186 metres from 20 carries and made 25 tackles to stamp himself as probably the best buy of the off-season.
Whoa. I still stand by the fact that Dylan Napa is the best buy of the off-season. Just in publicity terms alone, Napa definitely has more column inches. But it was a it was a good display from the Knights forwards.
He's got inches up the front. He's got inches down the back. It's all happening.
They've been hammered the Knights forwards. So it was good to see that they did well in this one.
After the game, Knights coach Nathan Brown was happy to speak about the perceived softness that existed in the Newcastle pack.
That's what I was trying to say.
Brown was commenting on Paul Gallen, who had historically taken a few pot shots at the Knights and their track record against the Sharkies, including when Cronulla won 48-10 and 38-12 in 2018 and 62-0 and 36-4 in 2016. It was Newcastle's first victory over Cronulla since 2014, Sid, and ended an 8-game losing streak against the Sharkies. Brown said, "Gal's not frightened to say what he thinks, but I'd be more interested to see what he thinks about us now. It would be interesting to see if he thinks we're an improved footy side." Now, amongst all of that, that's all he said. There was a beat-up of 3 days of stories about this.
Wasn't it?
To the point where I didn't get it. People were going back and whining Gallup, which doesn't take much, let's be honest.
No.
And saying that Brownie said this and Brownie said that. Brown didn't say much. Gal didn't say much. But all of a sudden, it's a back page story.
It's a new book of feuds.
Yeah.
The tradition between Cronulla and Newcastle always at each other goes all the way back to Sunday. This is a non-event. Gal's like, "Oh, I didn't know Brownie even cared. I don't know. He's talking about stuff I said. I can't even remember what I had for breakfast. This was 18 months ago." Big story, this one.
Well, speaking of the Book of Feuds and a great segue there, well done.
Roosters
couldn't beat their bitter rivals, the Rabbitohs, at Google Earth Ground, going down 26 points to 16. Now, not only was it Wayne Bennett's first game as the coach of the Bunnies, it was also an opportunity for the Souths players to try and impress the big Wheezy. And Adam Reynolds took the opportunity with both hands with a dominant display that wound the clock back for the champion halfback. Now, in trying conditions, Reynolds had a hand or a boot in 4 of South's 5 tries, with 2 assists incredibly coming after his probing kicks ricocheted off the uprights and gleefully into the arms of teammates. All this on a night when everyone was trying to celebrate opposite half Cooper Cronk's 350th game.
Yes, it was Cooper Cronk's 350th, which is an amazing record, 350 games. And the Roosters have already taken Cameron Smith's advice and not include Cronk's salary under the salary cap this year, having made 350 games. He's only the 4th player in history to achieve this milestone. The only players ahead of him are Terry Lamb, who played a handful of games for Wests.
The great bar.
And then the Bulldogs, he has right on 350 games. Darren Lockyer has 355. And the great man, Cameron Smith, is on 386 and counting. He could get to 400. But let's not forget, this was a good performance by the Bunnies under their new coach, the rookie, old Wheezy. Sam Burgess scored a try. He looks fit. Looks like he's been putting in extras at the gym. And it was an all-round great effort from the Bunnies.
Doing a lot of upright work, I've heard. Sam, building up some mid-body strength with a lot of thrusts in the pelvic region. Now, while Damien Cook is celebrated quite fairly as one of the best number nines in the game right now, his Roosters counterpart, Jake Friend, rarely has a bad game for the Roosters, and in his efforts on Friday night were nothing short of super, according to Full Credit the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab, Teardrop Terry and his deviant brother, Arse-Tear Tony. Not only did Friend score a try, he ran for 42 metres, made two line breaks, but get this, Sid, he made 68 tackles.
He is a tackling machine, Friend, and when he's on. 68 tackles is enormous, but it's worrying signs for the defending premiers as they remain winless in 2019.
They haven't won an NRL game for 166 days, Sid.
I know.
I mean,
it's a worrying.
I don't want to toss up crisis. Trent Robinson must be under the pump.
Yeah, the word crisis gets bandied around a lot, but I think it's appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about the crisis of Peter Beattie not knowing that Laurie Nichols might have died 19 years
pales,
ago.
Pales in insignificance when you look at this
166 days
this record.
As defending premiers and you haven't won an NRL game. It's a disgrace.
Yep.
Saturday, the Warriors absolutely hosed the Bulldogs at Maxwell Smart Stadium, 40 points to 6. Now, no Sean Johnson, no worries for the Warriors, Sid, as they absolutely spanked the doggies over there in England, Auckland. guided around by Blake Green and new boy Dale Kerrigan, it was an emotional day for the Warriors, who threw the gates open to the public as a gesture to their fans after the horrific scenes in the Christchurch Mosque only 24 hours earlier. 18,500 fans attended the ground and forgot about the atrocities from the previous day for 80 minutes as the Warriors turned on a clinic against a lackluster Bulldogs outfit. It was the biggest day for Dale Kerrigan since his dad saved the family home in that famous court case as he scored a try and kicked 6 goals.
This was a fantastic effort from the Warriors. With what New Zealand's gone through this past week, they play Manly in Christchurch, as we mentioned before, which will be another emotional outing. But they played well against a very poor Dogs outfit. It's got to be said, as good as the Warriors were, it's going to be a long season for the Doggies.
I want to say something here.
Go on.
And I don't want people to think badly of me. I happened to watch Controversy Corner on Sunday night. Is that Sunday? Monday?
Sure.
Whatever it is. On my new KO Sports app. And
shout out to our non-sponsor.
It's only one bad night from getting a bad rap on this show, I'll tell you. But Phil Rothfield, Buzz, said, and I couldn't agree more, he said, I look at that team on paper and think they have to be $2 million under the salary cap. He said, because when I look at teams like the Roosters, Melbourne, who else did he mention? Brisbane.
Yep.
He said, I cannot see where they're spending anywhere close to their cap. And I looked at their team and went, holy shit, Buzz is right. They must have a fortune ready to go.
How much is foreign on?
800.
Money well
which is
spent
about 100,000 a game. Well done.
Yeah.
About roughly what Josh Reynolds is on at the moment as well.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I'm throwing stones in a glass house here.
Chris McQueen is also on similar coin.
Yeah.
Per game?
Nah, I wouldn't say that. But no, it's true. When you look at some rosters, you think, how are Apples getting compared to Apples here? Because they look shot.
I know they've had to offload a jettison a lot of blokes, and they've had to get Clemmer, and in the past they've had to get rid of Graham and a few other blokes like that. And
Clay Priest.
Clay Priest, the Morris boys, a couple of rookies they were sad to see go. But yeah, I just look at it and go, wow. They're like, I'm not trying to bag the Bulldogs fans or their club, but that's an ordinary lineup.
It certainly is.
It's an ordinary lineup. I mean, the best player is probably Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
Who in other teams would be solid.
Oh, he wouldn't even get a crack at the Tigers.
No,
put it that way.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
Now, according to a couple of the Thailand recruits down at Fukra, the boys' backyard stats lab, Phuk Me Dead and his very popular sister that used to be his brother, Phuk and Saw, the overall stats from this game explain how dominant the Warriors were. 55% possession, 80% completion, 500 more running meters, 6 line breaks to 1, 38 tackle breaks to 13.
Wow.
There wasn't wasn't much that didn't have the Warriors' name stamped all over it.
Yeah, well, the first 2 tries from the Warriors were just from kicks, so they don't really count. But the next 5 were from poor Dogs defense, and the Warriors' backline just being too good. They took control of this game. But the biggest talking point I took out of this was Blake Ashard, who got interviewed at the end of the game. Not only did I not know that he was going around again in 2019, I also didn't know he had a Kiwi accent.
Has he got a Kiwi accent?
It's amazing. I'm like, I know that face.
Chur, bro.
Chur. Katie Pipe, bro. Hey, chur. Hey, yeah. Cool, hey. Cook me some eggs. I'm like, way. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's Blake Ashford. What's going on? We get a chance to have a look. I tried to find it to play it. It was amazing. But good on him.
I've got a rule in life, Sid, and I've already touched on this, yeah. And that is not to judge a footy team off just one round.
No, I do that all the time.
But I'm willing to make an exception here. Oh. The Dogs are poo in 2019, and it's going to be a very, very long year for the Blue and Whites. Their outside backs are mediocre. The signing of Kieran Foran can now almost be rubber stamped as an abject failure.
100%.
And letting Clemmer go and replace him with Dylan Napa seems to be like dumping Miranda Kerr and replacing her for Rebel Wilson. It's going to be a long year for Dogs fans, Sid, with many already wishing the BBL season went for another couple of months.
And no one wanted that. Yeah, it looks like the only time Dogs fans will cheer this year is when the Titans lose.
The Tigers were too strong for the Seagulls at the 8th wonder of the world, winning 20 points to 6. Now, it was a dour struggle in crap conditions as both teams toughed it out playing their first game of the year in rainy weather. In fact, after 40 minutes, the scoreline read just 2-0 to the visitors in what was a real bludger of a first half.
Certainly was.
However, not long after the break, the Tigers went on a scoring spree, collecting all 20 of their points in an 18-minute period to lead 20 points to 2. And only an 80th minute try to Jorge Tafua restored a bit of manly pride.
It was disappointing to allow that try so late in the game, but the Tigers' defense was great in the wet. The Tigers' first half was absolutely abysmal. But thankfully, the Sea Eagles' first and second half was abysmal, and we were able to get over them. It was a dour struggle that first half.
Yeah, it was. The second half was an impressive start of the year, I reckon, for the Tigers, who are hoping to reach the semis for the first time in close to a decade. And given they were missing our captain, Moses Mbai, the West boys showed their depth, but also by not selecting the $850,000 man, Josh Reynolds, and showing that they had a little bit of depth, maybe that's some good signs there too,
yeah,
Sid.
That's true.
Supercoach Maguire was relatively happy in his new team's performance, and many players remarked how different it was to have a coach who didn't speak with a forked tongue.
Yeah, it's hard to go out there in game one without your captain, but Corey Thompson is rock solid at the back.
How good.
It will be interesting to see what Madge does. Like you say, he's not scared to bench players. Interesting to see what he does with Benji and the Grub and Little with Robbie Farah there. But it's actually a good position to be in where we're so rich.
Yeah.
$850,000 man. Go play for the Magpies in reserve grade.
Man, the tuck shop for all week here.
Yeah.
Robbie Farah wound the clock back to 2010 according to Full Group of the Boys Backyard Stats Lab. Hippie imports from Nimbin. Cosmic Rainbow and his flatulent brother Anal Mist. Farah finished with 2 tries, a line break, 1 line break assist, 3 forced dropouts, and 5 runs for 43 metres plus his regulation 44 tackles.
Yeah, it was great to see Robbie get us over the line. I thought in the first half our attack was poor, as I said, and I thought a lot of that actually stemmed from dummy half. Things just weren't clicking. But as soon as I said Robbie Farah is past it and he's shit, he scored 2 tries. And he proved me wrong. So a good job all around by the Tigers.
Is it too early to start using the word immortal?
I don't think so.
No.
No.
I mean, it wouldn't go amiss now that we're building a stadium there at Allianz. Boris Kerigleekian's gone ahead with it anyway.
Yep.
It wouldn't be amiss to start constructing a A statue out the front?
Well, I think the new Western Sydney Stadium, the first.
The Robbie Farah Stadium?
Well, I think that might be a bit of a stretch. Maybe a Robbie Farah stand or probably a big statue out the front wouldn't go astray.
Yeah, fair enough.
Those giant ones where you walk underneath his legs. Holy tops.
And any pigeon that shits on that statue is dead. Yeah. The Cowboys decimated the tattoo industry in the Cogra area by smoking the Dragons at 1300 Cousins Stadium, 24 points to 12. The Cowboys started slowly and were down 6-0 early before clicking into gear after half an hour scoring 24 unanswered points to exert some dominance on the Red V. And while they may have lost a future immortal in Jonathan Thurston, a quick look through their forward pack shows their engine room will rival any team in the comp. How's this for a pack, Sid?
Hit me.
Matt Scott, Granville, McLean, Maguire, Hess, Taumalolo, Cooper, Asiata.
Yeah, we talked up their forwards this time last year, former. Oh. And they let us down badly. But any team that has Taumalolo should be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, on him, he might be approaching God status. Now, according to a Fulker of the Boys Backyard Stats Lab, Mexican ladies' men, Jorge How Much and his frugal brother, Jorge Too Much, the other JT ended the game with 21 runs, 301 metres, 6 tackle busts and 1 try assist, 2 line breaks and 15 tackles in a game that had many mullet-wearing forwards from the 90s rock hard on their couches at home.
Yeah, well, you couldn't stop messaging me after this game and the text messages were coming faster than you were watching the great Eggman Taumalolo absolutely carve them up with over 300 metres in this game. Amazing stuff from JT.
What's more amazing is I typed most of those messages with my dong.
Yeah.
It was interesting to gauge the reaction of Dragons fans after the game. And you didn't have to look far to find people ripping up their membership and writing off their team just after 80 minutes of footy.
It's not too soon.
Given the addition of key signings and the time it usually takes to bed in those types of changes, the Dragons, I didn't think Sid were too bad at all.
No.
Unfortunately for the usual fast-starting Dragons, they now have a tough 5-day turnaround before facing a white-hot South team this Thursday night, which will obviously leave them 0-2.
Yeah, well, I can't see where the Dragons are getting their first win until maybe round 5 against the Doggies. And even then, it's an even money shot. But, stay staunch, Dragons fans. Mary,
which, you know, that's what they're famous for, staying staunch.
Oh, yeah.
They don't rock their solid own team off.
And something that will cheer them up by the 5th round when they're 0-5. Mary will probably have been re-signed by then on a long contract.
Well, so I think it's best to sign coaches that other teams want. Ricky Stewart.
Yes, yeah.
Steve Kearney, Mary McGregor. They're the ones that if we don't sign them now, other teams will come knocking.
And I think that's a sign of a strong board when you're 0-5 and no one else wants that coach. You really got to throw a long-term deal at them.
And lock him in 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Don't fuck around with these.
Which I think is what the Dragons will do.
And whatever you do, don't put incentives in place. Lock them in.
No, down there they don't do that. It's just a secret handshake and away they go.
Sunday, Panthers were shocked by the Eels at the foot of the mountains, Pornhub Stadium, going down 20 points to 12. Now, an underrated Eels team shocked the highly fancied Panthers at home as the Mountain Men slipped into bad habits of falling behind in games and hoping to come from behind to win. Right zone jokes there. The comeback looked on after Michael Jennings was sin-binned late in the contest and Penrith scored 2 quick tries. But it was snuffed out when Jennings took a perfectly timed pass from debutant Dylan Brown in the closing moments.
Yeah, the Eels really, they never looked trouble in this game. They blew the Panthers away in this one. Worrying signs for the Panthers who stay winless this season. The Eels kept plugging away, trying to make things happen. And the Panthers, like you said, they just seem to think that they'll bounce back and somehow win. Something good will happen. Tamo's try gave them some hope. But Parramatta were just too good in the end. I picked them from the start of the year.
You did too. Now, looking at the final stats of this game, it shows how hard Penrith made it for themselves. They had 42% of the ball. They gave away 10 penalties to just 2. At home, that's unbelievable. Mm. Pornhub Stadium, I mean, you usually get things going your way at Pornhub Stadium, yeah. The Panthers do. They missed 16 tackles and they made 13 errors.
Yeah, well, they definitely made too many errors and gave away too much ball, but look, let's not take
They've been giving away ball all off-season,
Sid. Let's not take away from Parramatta. They earned that win, but will be without Nathan Brown for a while with a nasty pec injury, and he will be a player that they will miss.
Yeah.
I don't know how much depth Parramatta have. They've won 1 in a row.
What's your take on Nathan Brown?
Oh, I loved him when he was at West Tigers. He's a dead set animal. I don't think he's got much upstairs, but he goes hard.
I'm of the opinion that he is as tough as nails.
Yeah.
He's a very loose unit.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have a beer with him.
Oh, no. See, that's why I'd love to have a beer with him. You never know if he...
Yeah, well,
you never know what's going
to
happen.
You're going to get into a fight. It could be with him or it could be with 12 other blokes.
Well, but... you never know which station you're going to end up locked up at. Now, it'll be awesome.
A very tired-looking Ivan Cleary faced the media after the game and praised his forward pack for their efforts. However, he also pointed out that his backs didn't show the same kind of effort in the loss. A clear indication that he's ready to ask Nathan to move out of home.
I think so.
A couple of terrible errors as the game got close by the number seven will make both their lives difficult, especially if rumours are correct that Ivan is sleeping with Nathan's mum.
I've actually seen that Snapchat video.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's actually in a WhatsApp group, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. The Titans never troubled the scorers, going down to the Raiders at Bang Bus Stupid Super Stadium, 21 points to nil.
Did you say Bang Bus Stupid Stadium?
No, I like never it. Say that.
I like it.
The centre of petulance. on a wet evening on the Gold Coast, the Titans didn't fire a shot, although they can offer excuses as Ash Taylor was a late withdrawal with a quad injury, and then very early in the game, fellow half Tyrone Roberts was taken from the field with a ruptured Achilles tendon.
That's tough.
What probably hurt even more for the Titans was watching former half Aiden Caesar set up the game-clinching third Raiders try for winger Bailey Simonson.
That's tough for the Gold Coast, Ash Taylor and Tyrone Roberts, losing them. But, like I said last week, this was the spectacle that should have opened the NRL season.
It's not... definitely wasn't worthy of being on at 6 o'clock on a Sunday night in the rain, was it?
No.
I mean, these are the teams that we've waited seven other games to watch.
Exactly.
And we were being forced to sit through that instead of watching maths.
It should have opened the NRL season. It was an amazing match, played in near perfect conditions, a bumper crowd of 9,000.
Or as I like to think of it, 18,000 empty seats.
And the Titans put on a show scoring 0 points to get their season off to a flyer. But overnight, Supreme Leader Todd Greenberg, Mr. Consistency, they call him.
The scattergun, I call him.
He said a Sydney team should relocate to accommodate another Brisbane team. I say, Todd, the Titans are shithouse. Let's start there.
When has a Gold Coast team been successful in any code at any time?
I could rattle off several Gold Coast Rugby League team names to you. They're all actually the one club now I think about it. They keep getting rebadged. It's a non-event.
The soccer team went no good.
Yeah.
The basketball team, the Rollers, went no good.
Oh, the Rollers. I remember them.
The AFL team is no good.
No one watches them.
Or the Chinese team that plays over in the Gold Coast every now and then.
Yeah.
So just write it off. Forget it.
Write it off. Brisbane Titans.
Write it off. Much like a... No.
All right, that time code down. Fuck, we're offending everyone tonight.
While other off-season signings have attracted all the attention, the Raiders might have secured the best signature of the lot over Christmas, according to Fulker of the Boys' Backyard Stats Lab. Attack dog Darren and his much placid cousin, Lapdog Donald. England international John Bateman has had 19 runs in this game for 154 metres, 5 tackle breaks, 36 tackles in a great 80-minute performance.
Yeah, as you say, John Bateman, they've got big raps on this fella. He's wanted to test himself in the NRL. And he gets a start at the mighty Raiders, and it was an impressive performance from the POM.
Did you see him pretending to throw the footy at the bloke's head?
Yeah, how good was that?
That's awesome. That's tough. The Raiders repeatedly invited the Titans back into this game, despite the 21-0 scoreline, with a number of handling errors in the second half. But in spite of their best efforts, the home side were unable to find a way through the Canberra defence. The Raiders have the NRL's worst winning record in Queensland. I would have thought the Titans would have. So it was impressive that they're able to get a win and also to keep a team scoreless for the first time since 2013.
Yeah, they're going places this year, the Raiders.
Get into the 4077 injury ward for the first time in 2019 and Gold Coast playmaker Tyrone Roberts is injured his Achilles and expected to be out for at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, big loss.
Eels lock Nathan Brown suffered a suspected torn pectoral muscle and could be out for up to as long as 3 months, Sid.
Yeah, apparently they're a bit iffy. There could be a long term or could be back a bit sooner. But either way,
jeez, that's decisive. Thanks for this.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
thanks for the update.
You can't really tell at this early stage, but a torn pectoral muscle is probably second only to pissing blood and having a camera up your old fella. And he'll be out for a while and they're going to miss him.
Panthers forward, Hame Salah. Fear that the officials there at Penrith fear that he has broken his arm and he could be gone for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think I saw overnight that it may not be a broken arm.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Tyson Frizzell with the worst injury of the weekend.
I don't even want to hear this.
He could miss up to 6 weeks after undergoing emergency surgery when he ruptured a testicle.
You know the only good thing about that injury?
No camera down the flute.
Aside from that, the swelling. You think, geez, I'd keep the swelling if the pain stopped.
Don't rub them, count them. Broncos' James Robert is out for probably around 2 weeks with that back injury.
Yeah, what was that all about? Back spasms.
Spasms,
what causes
yeah.
that?
Well, obviously with my long and decorated history in, I don't know. Melbourne's Tom Eisenhuth was revealed today. He's out indefinitely with a fractured larynx.
That's got to hurt.
Yeah.
And he's had a long time between drinks.
Well, he will now.
That's not what I meant. He's been out of the game for a while since last time he played first grade, which is a cruel injury for him.
Johnson, a step back. For the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
A long time between stakes, at least. AFL, former Docker giant and Carlton Blues player Rhys Palmer was looking at a lifetime ban from racetracks after throwing his shoes at runners in a race at Gloucester Park Trots in Western Australia on Friday night.
Yes.
Palmer was at the Perth track when he hurled his shoes towards the runners as they passed the post ahead of the final lap during the sixth race on the card. He was ejected from the track by security officials. Later that evening, or actually the next morning, on his Facebook, he posted up a long apology where he said that things got out of control. He was skylarking with one of his mates. They were wrestling. He got hold of his mate's shoes and he threw them. He didn't know where they were going and they went towards the horses.
Total misunderstanding.
Problem with that is there were three owners who straight away on Facebook called him out and said, "No, you didn't. We were standing next to you when all that happened. There was no wrestling. You pulled your shoes off and you threw them at the horses."
Yep.
From after that, I'm just reporting on a Facebook post here. After that, there were a few other people jumped in and had a couple of other stories to share about Reese when he's on the drink. And all of them were pretty much, he's pretty loose unit who does silly things. I mean, I'd be a hypocrite to have a go at him about that. Anyway, it sort of went back and forwards. Just 48 hours later, Palmer was involved in a bad motorcycle accident that has seen him placed in a coma with severe injuries. Now, under that Facebook page, someone has put a link to that story, obviously in between all this coming and going with people having a crack at each other and having a crack at Reese, and put it down that he's in a coma and that he's not doing well. The first post underneath... just had hashtag put your shoes out for Reese.
We wish him all the best.
Given these 48 hours, the AFL has contacted this podcast, Sid, and they said, "I see your Craig Gower Wikipedia page and raise you a Reese Palmer."
They also contacted me because they don't like any bad news stories. They contacted me through the week and said if we ran this story that you and I would be banned for life from all AFL games. And we laughed and laughed. Whatever.
Swimming. Hashtag talk other games down. Chinese Olympic gold medalist and the man that Mac Horton called a drug cheat, Sung Yang, faces a hearing at the Court of Arbitration for Sport after the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA, appealed against the decision to clear him of a doping offence. World Swimming Governing Body FINA gave Sun a warning when he missed an out-of-competition test at his home in China. He won golds in Rio and in London. He's previously been banned for 3 months in 2014 for taking a prohibited stimulant, tribumsincox. Freestyle specialist Sun missed a doping test in 2018. In January, FINA's doping panel cleared Sun of wrongdoing on the grounds that testers had breached several rules, including failure to produce authorization letters and a nursing license, according to Sun's lawyers. He was issued with a warning.
Look, there are some sports that when you hear stories like this, you think, look, those sports are notoriously dirty and full of drug cheats.
And sometimes you just label countries, don't you? You think they've got to be cheating.
Exactly. Like, you look at the 100-meter running race.
Yeah.
That's dirty as. Yeah. Cycling.
Yeah, Tour de France.
As we covered last week, bridge.
Bridge, yep.
Bad drug cheats.
Yep.
But never in the history of sport have swimmers used drugs.
Not from China.
And especially the Chinese. This is a disgrace.
Cricket. Former Aussie captain Steve Smith and his vice-captain Dave Warner joined the Australian cricket team in the United Arab Emirates.
It's easy for you to say. Where is it?
United Arab Emirates.
Yeah, okay.
Ahead of their 5-match one-day international series against Pakistan. And the star duo, whose suspensions end in a fortnight, made a seamless transition back into the team environment. Loading everyone up with sandpaper. It is expected that the pair won't play in this series and will go to the IPL before rejoining the team as they head towards the Ashes in England.
So this story is that they just got a free trip to the UAE.
Yeah, it's the first step in them resurfacing, re-something.
Really?
Back into the team. Yep.
What a nothing story that is.
Badminton. That's right, badminton.
Yeah.
Hashtag talk other games down. I'm going to read this to you. This comes from at Eddie Gecko. This is his blog.
I love a good badminton story.
You like this?
Shuttlecock,
I call it. If you're a punter, if nothing else.
Yeah, I am a punter.
This blog is how to arrange a badminton match featuring Chen Qing Cheng and Jia Jifan.
How to arrange one or how to fix one?
How to fix one, same thing.
Ooh, okay.
What happened in the women's double quarterfinals of the Swiss Open disgusted me, and it should disgust any badminton fan. I mean,
Dozens of people are affected by this.
Limited audience, obviously. But just 1 week ago, Chen Jingqing and Jia Jifan won one of the most prestigious tournaments in badminton at the All England Championships. Oh, Wimbledon. Cementing their position as one of the world's best pairings and strong contenders for gold at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
They were going to be my pick.
Last night, they took part in what can only be described as a highly suspicious match against fellow Chinese pairing Yu Zheng and Li Wenmi.
They're down the backyard stats lab.
Yes, that's right. When looking at the pre-match betting at the with leading bookmaker of badminton, Bet365, I mean, if you're going to bet on badminton, you got to bet on Bet365. You're an idiot if you don't. Chen and Jia opened at $1.22, representing an 82% chance to win. These odds are entirely fair, given their strength of their world rankings between these two pairings.
Yep.
Usually these odds would not move much at all, maybe, you know, 10 cents here or there. Over the course of 12 hours, the pairing of Zhen and Jia went from $1.22 up to $3.50. Reflecting just a 28% chance of winning the match.
Fix is in.
For no apparent reason, there was no injuries, and the significant underdogs to win the match against their weaker team had now become the favourites, despite being ranked some 21 places behind them in the world. It's impossible, says, who did we say this bloke's name was? Eddie Gecko, to justify the huge shift in rankings. In odds. There were no injuries. Blah,
suspicious.
Blah, 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 blah. As for the match, it was remarkably boring.
No.
Oh, shit, you're not. Shen and Jia won the opening game.
I'd say unremarkably boring, but anyway.
Shen and Jia won the opening game, but then after that, it was part of a plan to disguise the arranged match or alternatively offer opportunity for the fixers to maximise their winnings when Li Yu won the next three sets to win the match.
Wow.
So all in all, Shen and Jia lost. The question Eddie Gecko has is, why was this match targeted? There's two possibilities, he says. the Chinese team wanted Lian Yu to win the match to get some ranking points,
mm-hmm.
or Shen and Jia fix the match themselves for financial gain.
Either way, two Wongs don't make a white.
Jesus Christ.
I'm kind of lost with all these names here.
Right, yeah. So you're just falling back on the Asian gear.
Yep.
All right, Sid, it's time for podcasting's number one segment in all the lands and probably the segment that'll kill me. It's time for this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
That's right, it's time for Grab a Mirror.
Make a change, people.
I narrowed it down to the top 36. You lost your mind.
Didn't I?
Narrowed it down to the top 30. You lost your mind.
Remember when we hardly had anyone send this in? And then we had a few too many, so we're like, we're going to keep it at 10. And then we had to bring in equals. Now we're in like hundreds. It's getting ridiculous.
It trended again, apparently.
Yeah, it was trending again in Sydney. It's good to see.
All right. Can I go first this week?
You always go first, my friend. Well, go first.
Tonight, we have a new cyclone, Sid, forming off the coast of, or the east coast of Australia.
We do.
Up there in Queensland.
Yeah, right.
Let's head over to the calming voice of Adam Morgan from the Bureau of Meteorology to get the latest on this very significant weather event. Over to you, Adam.
Hello again. Tropical cyclone Trevor has formed overnight off the far north Queensland coast in the Coral Sea.
Now, that wasn't Sid. That was the guiding hand, the calming voice of Adam Morgan from the Bureau of Meteorology. And what was that name of that cyclone again?
Cyclone Trevor.
Sorry, Adam, what was it again?
Cyclone Trevor.
Cyclone Trevor.
Sounds like Ray Romano. Fucked Kermit the Frog.
Grab a Mirror, the World Meteorological Organization. Giant bunch of poindexters, this mob are, Sid, responsible for naming cyclones. And this week, as 120-kilometre winds are set to lash Queensland coastlines, they're being warned, the good people of Queensland, they're being warned of who?
Cyclone Trevor.
Cyclone Trevor. That's right. Tropical Cyclone Trevor. As I live and breathe, Sid, Cyclone Trevor. They've told people to brace themselves, and then they've started to call this thing
Cyclone Trevor.
Cyclone Trevor. Trevor! Trevor's the name of a bloke you used to work with that you felt sorry for, but secretly you just couldn't stand. Trevor's the bloke who tucks his polo shirt into his brown corduroy pants and asks if you want to come over and play Pictionary. Trevor's the bloke who lives with his mum and thinks a wild night out is getting in the lemon lime bitters and organising his Blu-ray collection in chronological order, Sid.
And watching the sex tape that his mum put together for him.
If people hear that Tropical Cyclone Trevor is coming, you know what they're going to do, Sid?
What?
At best, they'll lock the doors and turn their lights out and pretend no one's home. This is a bloody cyclone, Sid. A cyclone. You want people to be on the edge and treat it with respect, not to go to their front doors and you're like, fuck off, Trev. I'm not in the mood for your shit today. You want a hard name? You want a name people will fear? Tropical Cyclone Chopper.
Yeah.
Hurricane Hammer Time.
Oh, I like that.
In fact, that's what the nerds down at the World Meteorological Organization should be doing. They should be naming cyclones in accordance with how shit scared you should be. If they announce that Typhoon Meatax is on its way, well, pack your shit and get out of town as quick as you can. Forget your kids if you have to, because that thing's about to rip through the joint.
You'd be scared shitless over that one.
Tornado Carnage is approaching, Sid. Well, you're fucked, essentially. Grab mm-hmm. the nearest person and start making love and go out in style, even if his name's Trevor. But if they say Hurricane Braith is approaching, well, maybe grab a peg, put it on your nose, and avoid the strong smell of shit. But otherwise, carry on with your day. Or if Cyclone Sid is approaching, stick a camera down your dick hole. It'll drop to its knees anyway. Let's look at some of the biggest cyclones that have struck our part of the world, Sid.
Yeah.
Some of the biggest ones in order of wind speed were Chloe,
mm-hmm.
Vance, Orson, and Marcus.
Are you serious?
Sorry? Chloe, Vance, Orson, and Marcus. Were these cyclones? Or are they four hipsters serving piccolo lattes in Newtown? Chloe, Vance, Orson, and Marcus. They should have been called Mad Dog, Throat Slit, Iron Bar, and Debt Collector.
From the Backyard Stats Lab.
They call them that, and everyone's safe, Sid. So grab a mirror, World Meteorological Organization. If Trevor wreaks carnage this week, you'll have blood on your hands. Now, before I end this, I know what you're thinking, Sid.
What am former. I thinking? I don't even know what I'm thinking.
What about Cyclone Tracy?
What about Cyclone Tracy,
should
former?
Should they have renamed that or to something else? And the obvious answer to that is no. Go and find any Tracy from Rudy Hill and fight them. You won't win, Sid. Bruce Lee wouldn't win. Tyson wouldn't win. Chuck Norris wouldn't win. And if you tell me Tracy's on her way and she's angry, well, I'm getting the fuck out of here. So well played on that one, World Meteorological Organization. But for the rest of your sloppy work, grab a mirror.
Never met a good Tracy, if I'm honest.
Equal
10.
Again with the get the phone ready.
Yeah, this is where you're supposed to get the phone ready.
Right. Here we go.
Ripping. Equal 10.
Equal 10. At Jared Incognito says, grab a mirror.
If that's your real name.
Grab a mirror, Michael Jennings, for not using your 10 minutes in the sin bin wisely and putting your rinse through your salt and pepper hair. Equal
10.
At Juliet Arthur says, grab a mirror of the police for not being able to confirm what the correct speed limit in the street was, but you'll give me a ticket because you think I'm speeding.
Yeah?
Dirty coppers. Equal
10.
At Lone Stealer says, grab a mirror, any bastard who gets a perfect round in the first round of the season. Hashtag JAM, hashtag piss in a cup, hashtag peptides, hashtag performance enhancing drugs.
Hear, hear. I believe there was only one in the full credit to the boys tipping comp. And guess what? It wasn't me.
No. Equal
10.
At Mr. Barjar says, grab a mirror at Todd Greenberg. Stop talking relocation and just move the at Seagulls. Do it now while they're shit and broke. It's not they have a lot of furniture to pack. Don't delay like you did with the Sharks and the dollars came from nowhere to save them.
Bargy, the voice of reason.
Equal
10.
Speaking of voices of reason, at Beerboy182 says, hashtag grab a mirror Laurie Nichols and take a look at your sharp left hook right uppercut combo, you magnificent bastard. Being able to get Peter Beattie to delete his Twitter account from the grave is next level trolling. Keep swinging and hitting them from down there, old man.
And it's good to see Laurie doing so well.
Equal
10.
At Derek Garrick.
Oh, what?
Here we go. If you're got loose ears, probably just skip through the next 35, 40 seconds of this podcast and pick it up from the next one. But Derek Garrick says, grab a mirror, the guy at the gym in the world's tightest skins. I thought at Warwick Kappa 39 returned from the dead. I saw every bit of movement when a girl bent over and could see the blood moving through your bed flute every time your heart beat. Someone please poke my eyes out. Hashtag hung like a toothpick. Equal
10.
At time taken up says, grab a mirror footy and you should, hashtag grab a mirror footy should grab a mirror and admire itself. 1 week back and fans have moved on from the troubled off season and are back to slaughtering players, coaches, administrators and refs. Bloody already got rid of Beattie. The game always wins.
Hear, hear.
Equal
10.
At SC Under the Radar says, grab a mirror NRL hairdressers. Speaks for itself.
It does indeed.
9.
Hey, we're up to 9.
At Joe Davola, 76, says, grab a mirror, you pricks, for getting the Statsman song stuck in my head. Then 4 days later, after it's finally gone, the real version is already playing the barbershop as I walk in.
You wait till after this week's episode. You're going to have another earworm. I've worked on it all week, and it is truly horrible.
8.
Righto. Forewarning is forearmed or something.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I'm about to drop the C-bomb.
Hey.
So skip forward if you want. But if you're offended by this, then I think your head's not screwed on entirely properly. But at Ben Pugsley says, grab a mirror, terrorists. If you feel like shooting people, hashtag grab a mirror and shoot the cunt you see in it.
Good point.
7.
At Nathan Riff IWT. Riff it. Nathan Triffitt says, grab a mirror at Sid Punts for making the grab a mirror theme song so catchy. I find myself singing it all day and now making it into a boys to men song. Hashtag deep voice talking from boys to men. Hashtag you're still a good guy. Hashtag not a Michael Clark.
Well, there's a lot of controversy over that song, whether I should be playing it anymore because it's based on a pedophile song.
Just write boys to men down. I reckon we've got about 2 or 3 songs we can make some stings out of there.
Okay, I'll write that down.
6.
At Rawsome. He's back again. Says, grab a mirror. The bloke who sculled my beer when I went for a slash on Friday night, then proceeded to tip my beer at me in a cheers motion when upon my return, then walked out of the pub.
No. That's a sackable offence.
Five.
That's why you always drop your dong in it just before you go to the toilet. At Glass Joe says, grab a mirror, whinging Dragons fans who, for going on and on about how crap the team is and it's only round one, most blaming the Corey Norman signing. Let's look at the bright side, guys. At least we didn't sign bloody Mitchell Moses. Hashtag one of the greats. Hashtag future immortal. Hashtag always welcome on the show, Mitch.
What a perfect tweet that was. And it only got number four, five, whatever four. It was. Number five that got.
At Muzz Loves a Beer says, hashtag grab a mirror, my third grade teacher, Mrs. Goldfinch. What the fuck were you thinking when you taught us how to play the recorder?
True.
Oh, one more.
At our school, we got taught how to play the bed flute.
Equal
four.
I think that's right.
Yes, that'll do.
At Daniel J. Brown 79. Hashtag grab a mirror at former underscore legend for your man crush on the geriatric Robbie Farah. Hashtag GAM.
You have a lot of man crushes.
Mate, I'm going to do my top 10 man crushes next week.
Good idea.
That's a good segment.
Yeah, Former's write that on the 10. Whiteboard.
Former's top 10. Former's top 10 male man crushes.
That will rate through the roof, said yes. Probably nobody ever.
That'll get yous all back.
Can I have a go?
They're probably already counting down on next week, but all right, have a crack.
I'm not really sure how well this is going to go over, but anyway. It's kind of a theme tonight's episode. Grab a mirror, egg boy. You have divided the nation, young sir. Now, during the week, former, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, we saw Fraser Anning, a fine Queenslander, a fine politician, a great statesman. He copped an egg over the head from an unruly young prankster. In the great Australian tradition of not holding our politicians above ourselves, Egg Boy, as he is now known, took it upon himself to crack an egg over the poor, defenceless, former One Nation and Bob Catter Party senator. Now, you know you're going bad when One Nation and Bob Catter parties want nothing to do with you. But I think an egg to the head is relatively harmless. He copped two swift, piss-poor, open-hand slaps in return from Anning. Fair cop.
All those Nazis can fight.
Then some heroes in tap-out shirts and Adidas tracksuits.
Bum bags.
Showed off their jiu-jitsu moves. And choked this lad on the ground, but he did not tap out.
Just remember about jiu-jitsu, it's not gay if you're not looking at eye to eye.
Exactly. But Egg Boy did not tap out, even though the said bum bags were on his face. Kind of nearly ruined that joke for me.
There was ball bags on his face.
But what I take to task is the reaction from social media that followed this incident really took me by surprise. Egg Boy has become somewhat of an Aussie hero, a bit of a prepubescent soft cock version of Ned Kelly. There's some people out there that do not agree. In response to a tweet from full credit to the boy's very own David Reynolds, I know you've seen this.
Great. This is fantastic.
David Reynolds tweeted out saying how much he loved Egg Boy, but Twitter genius and highly respected social commentator. At Dodge Weave Faint. go and tweet this man, because he's the only one talking sense in this country right now. At Dodge Weave Faint replied to Dave Reynolds' tweet saying how Egg Boy was a genius. He said,
it sounds like me every time it's my shout.
Sounds like a really shitty English pub. Dodge, weave, faint. Anyway, in reply to Dave Reynolds' tweet saying how much Dave loved Egg Boy, Dodge, weave, faint replied, there's not a great leap from throwing eggs to throwing rocks to picking up a gun. I'm pretty sure there is a great leap, but anyway. Apparently, there's not a great leap from throwing eggs to shooting people.
I wish our long jumpers could make that greater leap. It's cold for Australia.
I'm now even more scared if I was to see Jason Taumalolo, the Eggman, running towards me because it's a slippery slope former. Eggs are now a gateway weapon. Next time you're in the aisle at the shops and you see a hipster deciding which free-range eggs to pick up, be scared in the knowledge that they are probably also planning on hijacking a plane. But please, everyone just needs to grow up. Politics isn't an episode of Married at First Sight. Sure, Fraser is not popular at the moment, but don't forget dozens of Queenslanders voted for him. And whilst I've said over and over again that democracy doesn't work, signing a pointless petition and yelling at people on social media achieves nothing. What we should do as a nation is we should tune into morning television and be guided by Koshy and the Cash Cow to be educated in politics. Let's see what Waleed Ali thinks. Or watch an informed debate between Umi Steins and Kerry Ann. We need to listen to true leaders like Andrew Bolt and Alan Jones for guidance. It is a miserable country that we live in. We all agree with this. But we've just got to make the best of it. And when we see someone we don't like, just fucking throw eggs at him.
3.
Who's at number 3?
At...
someone. You didn't know when that rant was going to end, did you?
Once again, you finish quick. You hit the brakes hard.
Yeah, I don't
know.
You're
like a drag racer. You throw the shoots
interest.
Out and that's
I
it.
Lose interest.
I thought you peaked at the jiu-jitsu gear, I thought.
Yeah.
At Fat Hairy Lazy. Fat Hairy Lazy knows duck, dodge and weave or whatever his fucking name. They should get together. What's his name?
Dodge, weave, faint.
Dodge, weave, faint. Meet Fat Hairy Lazy.
What a team.
Again, sounds like me at a shout. He says, hashtag grab a mirror Tyson Frizzell. At least when Peter Wallace busted a goog, he finished the game. Hashtag flat bag.
I just snorted. I thought you were explaining my dickhole last week was funny, but busted a goog. Busting a goog is bad.
Hashtag good punts, piss blood.
Very good.
2.
At blocked user 2217 says, grab a mirror, topless waitresses at the pub. Spend 98% of the time parking their puppies exclusively at one table full of dick hats, but zoom towards your cash like at Usain Bolt as soon as they see you're down to your last slurp of the schooner. Hashtag poor customer service. Hashtag I'll self-pleasure again.
1.
That was a solid top 5, may I say. Who gets number 1?
At Mitch underscore T13 says, grab a mirror, Ivan Cleary. You need new methods. If you want your team to remember how to come from behind, set some phone cameras up at training. Hashtag Ivan's bang bus.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a
all right, Sid, it's time for this. 2019, round 2. It's crisis appreciation round. The journos are struggling for stories now, Sid.
Yep.
It's been a good 6 or 7 days since we've touched on anything that's been marginally close to being a crisis. And we've got to our, we've got the stat man on. At Andrew RLP on Twitter, Andrew Ferguson from Rugby League Project. Welcome back to Full Credit the Boys, mate.
Absolute honour to be here, fellas.
Now, you were saying off air that you've got a good AFL story.
that's between us.
Yeah, privately you said that. Mate, let's just tell everyone quickly about your Patreon and what people can get if they sign up and donate a few coins to Rugby League Project's Patreon.
Yeah, as everyone will notice when they went onto our Patreon page last week, which is patreon.com/RLproject, they would have seen that we had a huge, rather long list of stats which people could use to help them with their footy tipping for the week. haven't got any feedback yet, so I don't know if that's good news or not. But if you want to get in some onto some of those stats, just go in there and you can donate as little as a dollar a month on there, and you can get access to all of that.
And you give yourself every sporting chance then if you do get access to those stats to win your tipping comp or even make some coin on betting.
And I can vouch for that. I followed your tips live on air here, and I should have typed them into the app as we did it, because I would have got 5 from 8. But stupid fat fingers here put it in 2 days later and ended up with 3 from 8.
Cool story.
Yeah.
All right, Thursday night this week, we start with Dragons v Rabbitohs at Carlton South Public School Lower Quadrangle Stadium in the Lee Hookey Shield. $2.45 the Dragons, $1.55 the Rabbitohs. Anything of interest out of this, Andrew?
Yeah, mostly about Paul McGregor. He's never lost a game as player or coach to South when he was playing with Illawarra. But since he's been with the St. George Illawarra Dragons, he's had 2 wins from 10 games against the Bunnies. Yeah.
They're gone. That's a telling stat.
That stat alone, he should get a contract extension.
Will get a contract extension.
With a sneaky handshake.
But I was just tossing a coin here on that one, and that has tipped me in the favour of the Bunnies.
Who do you like, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm going to go South.
Yeah, I thought they started strong this time of the year, but you do get that sort of scattergun sort of form guide where what was bad is good and what good was bad. But I can't go away from the South. They looked pretty good last week.
Anyone that picked 8 last week obviously doesn't know anything about rugby league.
And should just try and get off the crack. On Friday, the Raiders will take on the Storm at Geelong Cold Stadium for the first time down there in Canberra in the Glenn Turner Trophy. $2.32 the Raiders, $1.60 the Storm. Glenn Turner, what a player. What's your favourite Glenn Turner memory?
I remember watching him make a tackle once.
That's good enough for me.
I've got nothing.
Any stats out of this, mate?
Yeah, look, here's an interesting one. Cameron Smith has won 23 games against Canberra in his career, and the entire Raiders 21-man squad this weekend has a combined total of 31 wins against Melbourne.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
I'm going with the Storm on this one.
Yeah, I like the Raiders. I'm down there at Geelong Cold, so I'm going the Storm. It was a toss of a coin, and yeah. I decided Storm last second.
I don't know how the fat fingers get in the way of your microphone, but all right.
Get in the way of my life.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Storm as well. But I think the Raiders will give them a real game. Broncos take on the Cowboys at Daylight Saving Stadium up there in the Jason Erber Jug. $1.60 the Broncos, $2.32 the Broncos. Cowboys, sorry. Andrew, anything out of this? Anything of interest?
Yeah, look, obviously Jason Tomlilo had an epic game last week, racking up 286 metres in 62 minutes.
Mate, given our off-season, I'd get you not to use the term racking up.
If I've done some numbers, and if we put that into perspective, at that speed, it'd take you 202 days to travel from the Cowboys' home ground to Daylight Saving Stadium.
Well, that's an absolute massive stat.
Neil Breen would have known that off the top of his head.
He got me by about 2 kilometres.
What are the Broncos paying?
The Broncos are $1.60 and the Cowboys are $2.32 away from home. This is always an epic game, Cowboys-Broncos. Who do you like, mate?
I'm going with the Cowboys.
Interesting.
I'm going the Broncos home.
I'm going the Cowboys as well. I thought they were very good. They're talking about this Broncos forward pack. They will get tested this week against the Cowboys forward pack. It is an almighty forward pack. And maybe Captain Morgan just goes well without having JT there. Maybe there is something in that. Saturday.
Wait. I'm changing.
Oh, Jesus.
North Queensland. Cowboys. That's who I'm going for.
Yeah, good luck. Saturday. Sharks take on the Titans at Self-Reporting Park in the James Stossic Shield. $1.36 for the Sharks at home at Self-Reporting Park. $3.10, the Titans. Who do you like, Andrew? Oh, sorry. What stats you got, mate?
Well, it's about John Morris, the coach there. He's the 19th man to coach the Sharks in the history. And right now, he's the only one that hasn't had a win. But if he wins this weekend and bumps that up to 50%, he'll be automatically in the top 7 of Sharks coaches. ahead of Ricky Stewart and some other blokes.
Awesome. I like it.
With that in mind, are you going the Sharks?
Yeah, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going the Sharks.
Yeah, I couldn't go the Titans. I just couldn't. No.
The only time I'll go to the Titans is when they play the Bulldogs.
Yeah. Yeah, and even then.
And even then, it's even.
The next game on Saturday night is the Knights taking on the Panthers at Old MacDonald Stadium in the Shane Vincent Shield. $1.76, the Knights. $2.05, the Panthers. Any stats that our listeners should know about in this game, Andrew?
Yeah, look, these two teams of late haven't really been playing very close games. In fact, the last one saw the Knights win by 8 points, which was the first time in their last 10 clashes that the margin was in single figures.
Massive margins we're talking about here. Panthers will be looking for a bit of a bounce-back effect. The Knights will be looking to keep the roll going. Andrew, who do you like?
I'm thinking Penrith. They can't get any worse than they were last week. Surely they're going to get better.
I'm hoping they don't get better, and for that reason, I'm going the Knights.
I'm going the Panthers as well, even though I think the Knights will make the top four this year. I think
they won't make the top four.
Panthers bounce back here. I agree with Andrew. Surely they can't put two performances in like they did last weekend. I think they'll go up there and they'll win. I think otherwise,
I'm death riding them all year. I hope they do get worse.
Cleary looks tired, I've got to say, early. Both of them. Seagulls take on the Roosters, a real blockbuster over there in Legoland in the Jack Perrin Plate. $3.50, the Seagulls. Money for jam. $1.30, the Roosters. Any stats in this, mate?
Look, Daly Chevrons is expected to be the lightest player to ever play first grade footy this weekend after Luke Garner turned him into a pancake last week. Also, the Roosters have scored 120 points across their last three trips to Legoland.
Ooh, Jesus. All right, with that in mind, are you going the Roosters?
Absolutely.
Yeah, same.
Sydney, yeah, I can't go off them. I'm starting to get worried about the amount of away teams I'm back.
Yeah, I know.
That's a concern.
That's actually why I went the Broncos, but then I changed back.
Yeah, you're a fool.
Yeah. I've got no idea what I'm doing. This will change tomorrow.
Drunk as 10 men. Sunday.
I wish.
The Bulldogs take on the Eels at Shotgun Stadium. That's right, you can fire a shotgun there and you won't hit anyone. In the Leo Tui Trophy. What's your favourite Leo Tui memory, Andrew?
I haven't quite had one yet.
Yeah, I like the fact that they named a beer after him. And at $2.12, the Bulldogs, $1.71, the Eels. Oof. Sydney?
You know what? I'm going the Eels, $1.71.
Andrew, you got a stat for this?
Yeah, look, Mitch Moses set a Guinness World Record last weekend for the fastest recovery after being killed, beating the previous record set by Jesus.
A four-dayer.
Last week, Adam Elliott and Mitch Moses had identical tackling stats. Both made 24 tackles and missed 7.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you mean, is that right? He's the stats man. Of course it's right.
So who are you backing, mate?
I don't want to. I'll go for a draw again. No, I'll go with Parramatta. What the hell?
Sydney, you went the Eels as well.
Yeah, I'm going Parramatta.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Eels as well. Jesus, with no confidence, but I don't know if the Bulldogs can win a game this year. They're fielding a team that's
worth, haven't won one yet.
Worth about $340,000 on paper, the entire side. And the final game of the round, the West Tigers, the possible undefeated champions of 2019 versus the Warriors at MethLab Stadium in the Mark Horro Medal.
Top of the table clash.
$1.82, the Tigers. $2, the Warriors. Who do you like?
Stephen Kearney's last victory at MethLab Stadium as a player or coach was in round 26, 2000. Last week, the Tigers outscored the Warriors in the second half of their games. Tigers scored 20 points, the Warriors only scored 18.
You pointed out to us the atrocious stats for the Warriors coach, but that seems to be on the improve. I'm a little concerned. We don't have a good record against the Warriors, the Mighty Tigers.
Yeah. Andrew, who are you backing?
Tigers, mate.
Sydney? Oh, you're not, are you? Ooh, you're not, are you?
I'm going the Warriors at $2.
You're a shit fan.
Yep.
You're a shit fan.
This is why I don't go in tipping comps.
I'll back the Warriors as well.
And just so you know, they've won. Tigers have won 50% of their games against the Warriors, so it's pretty close.
Oh, I thought we had a shit record. Why didn't you speak up earlier before I've embarrassed myself going for the Warriors?
You know what you're not?
What?
For that reason.
You know what you're not?
What?
You're not the stat man.
Can I just point out, last week, the Bunnies into Parramatta into Canberra 10+ was Sid's rough punt of the week.
Got up.
It got up. I even forgot that I did it. I didn't even put money on it.
It was $19 it was paying.
The past past two years, every week I've put on those shit bets. The one time I forgot that I even did it, it gets up. So this week's Sid's rough punt is the Warriors at $2 into the Eels at $1.71.
Yep.
Into
Roosters 10+.
No.
Roosters 20+.
Into the Sharks 13+.
Oh. Interesting.
There you go.
All right, I have to figure out those
Sid's
odds.
Rough punt. 100% record this year.
Now, Andrew, with all your stats, how did you go last week in the tipping?
Yeah, 4 out of 8.
Not your best.
It wasn't too flash.
Not your best advertisement, is it, really?
No, that's always my problem. If you go there and start talking about how good you are at stats, and if you don't get everything right, then you're going to be a failure.
Well, I think at the beginning of the year, mate, it's such a hit and hope kind of time of the year where things just, we're still sort of really just guessing at this time of the year.
Wait, I guess all year.
So I don't think you can be too hard on yourself there, mate. But thank you once again for joining us. Don't forget, you can find Andrew on Twitter at AndrewRLP. You can go to Patreon.com/RLProject. Throw a coin in. That's all you got to do is throw a gold coin in, get access to some exclusive stats. We'll talk to you again next week, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, guys. No worries.
Thanks, Jimmy. Talk to you soon. Well, thank you very much to Andrew from Rugby League Project for joining us for previewing round 2, which is, of course, controversy round. Crisis round? Something like that.
Yeah, that'll do.
Without further ado, but Sid, it's time for this.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Righto. Boy sack mail and feedback time. We'll start with the tipping comp.
The tipping comp is going gangbusters. I'm not going gangbusters in the tipping comp, but I'm very grateful to be part of it.
Thank you to the 180 starters.
Yes.
In this competition.
I'm going 135th.
Yeah, that's solid.
And I'm pretty confident that I can't win it from here.
Yeah, no, I'd be... it's time to rebuild.
Rebuild, start again.
Clear your cap. Yeah, so 181 starters. There was someone who got a full book. Clearly a computer hacker from Russia.
I'm not even going to mention them because it's bullshit.
Yeah. We'll probably do a running update next week once we get a little bit more meat into the competition.
When I get a little bit higher up on the ladder, then I'll mention it.
Could be a while.
but thank you to all who have entered that, and we will be keeping updates on that.
Thank you to all the new listeners.
A lot of new listeners.
We talk about numbers. Well, we've had the biggest 2 weeks this show has ever had.
Yes, we've started off.
As far as downloads are concerned.
Flying.
It's been massive. We have a guest lined up next week.
Yeah, and probably the week after. But as soon as we say that, they drop out. So
yeah, we're a bit hesitant to talk about it.
Let's see what happens.
Talking to you, big man.
Membership, thanks to Big Man for not appearing this week.
Yeah, the membership.
Appreciate it.
Membership packs. Yeah, that contract. Wow. Mad. Membership packs are almost ready to be announced. They are a lot cheaper this year.
Yes.
They will be the only way, if you buy one, that you'll be able to get into the live show. I'm about to announce the date of our first live show.
A lot of people have been asking because we mentioned that there's going to be a mid-year one.
2019.
People are trying to organise their life.
Get your life ready. Write this date down in your diaries.
Okay, I will, because I better book somewhere. What date is it?
Sunday, the 23rd of June.
Oh, nice. It Origin is 3.
Origin 3 from Perth. We will be doing a live show before kickoff of Origin 3.
That's actually why the NRL put Origin 3 on a Sunday to coincide with our live show.
Which we appreciate. Thank you, at Todd underscore Greenberg.
Finally, you did something right.
The scatter gun. Thank you also to those who haven't done a 5-star review. What's going on there? We haven't had one this year, I don't think.
Well, I haven't looked.
Obviously, if you want to be mentioned on this show, there's two ways. Death threats and also doing a 5-star review.
The only two ways.
grab a mirror or something. Let's do a West Wales Raiders update. Our first one for 2019.
Yeah, I just want to explain. Listeners from last year will know that we took the West Wales Raiders under our wing. That's easy for me to say. That's kind of why we took them on board. They're a expansion team out of Wales in the RFL League One in the UK. And West Wales Raiders is very hard to say. So we took them under our wing, much like we did a few years ago with Jack Sock, the tennis player.
The reason we took these blokes under the wing too was because they conceded 100 points 9 weeks in a row or something.
They are quite possibly the worst rugby league team ever.
Well, they were. They were.
Well, I think
they are certainly on the improve.
They're on the up. But this is what we do here on Full Credit to the Boys. We took Jack Sock under our wing many years ago. And look at him. He's flying now.
Until we realised he was a flog.
Yeah. You know that Sock. Then we took on the PNG Hunters and the Toronto Wolfpack.
Yes.
Toronto Wolfpack are way too successful now, so we dropped them.
Gangbusters.
So West Wales Waiters, I did a jingle for them last year. It was just a quick little jingle, and the club wrote to me in the off-season and said, can you write our full team song? And I'm like, I'm kind of busy doing nothing. So, yeah, all right, I'll do it. So here's a little outtake for this year's West Wales Waiters theme song.
We'll win the whack and one will hard, we'll fight right till the end. We'll strive to win and score some twice and learn how to defend. We'll make Wales proud and do our best. Go and tell your friends we're the West Wales Waiters. We rule the rugby league world. Although we've never won a game, we really try our best. We are the best team all of Wales. Forget about the West. We'll make Wales proud and twy. We'll hard one rings around the West. We're the West Wales Waiters. We rule the rugby league world.
They came to me for a slogan and I said, what about West Wales Waiters will one wings around the West? They're like, that sounds pretty cool. So anyway, last year we conceded thousands of points. This year we're, three games in?
Three already, I think.
Four games we've played. We're all already minus 138 points.
An improvement, but.
It is an improvement. We've had four losses on the trot, which is standard.
They have an Australian coach now in Kim Kardashian or Kim Khan, someone like that.
They're in a massive rebuilding phase and couple of the early games, we played the Coventry Bears to start off the comp.
Coventry.
Oh, no.
Cheats.
28-4 we went down. It was a solid effort. Then against the London Scholars.
I wouldn't think so.
28-18. It was a tight one at home there. We went down and it was due to the penalty count, I think.
Yeah, we got fucking wiped out there.
Last week, we were back on track with a 58-4 drubbing. Before going down in the RFL Challenge Cup final. Let's say it was the final.
Sure.
48-0 we went down. Newcastle Thunder touched us up by 50 last week. But this week I'm very excited. We're playing Whitehaven. We'll probably lose. But
you think?
The other exciting thing in this competition, there's 11 teams. West Wales Waiters is only coming second last because the Keira Knightley Cougars.
I love Keira Knightley.
They were deducted 12 points before the season even kicked off. So we are currently now 9 points ahead of them on the ladder.
Keira Knightley's team, the Cougars, they will probably go past us. But the big question is when?
When?
What round?
Soon, I'd imagine.
So they're 9 behind us. We're on 0. They're on -9. They began at -12. They've had a draw, a win and a loss. Been a up and down season for them.
Up and down, definitely.
We meet them when next week?
Yes.
It's a battle.
Oh, no, this week we've got Whitehaven.
Oh, next week.
And then the following week, the bottom of the ladder clash against the Keira Knightley Cougars. So all our new listeners and everyone from last year, get on board the West Wales Waiters.
West Wales Waiters, we rule the rugby league world.
All right, that might do for this week.
Sure.
We're both as crook as dogs and we've both got to get out of here.
Yep.
It's now 1 o'clock.
it is.
I've got to be somewhere at 4:30. That's going to be great. Robbing a house. Sydney.
Yes.
Well, let's call it a day, eh?
Yeah, let's call it a day.
All right, we've got a big show next week. A guest lined up.
Yep.
Obviously, the Tigers will be 2-0.
No, undefeated. I think the Warriors. So, pretty sure the Tigers will be 2-0.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you to all the listeners once again. All the new listeners. Don't forget the 23rd of June venue TBA. They're talking Horden Pavilion. They're talking Opera House.
They're talking. Until the election's sorted, there is not a house big enough in New South Wales to house us.
Could be a toga party.
It's going to be great. Talk to people that were at the last one and ask them how good it was, because I had to ask them because I was smashed.
And with that, we'll call it a night. Thanks for joining us. Say hello to your mum for me.
And until next week, it's good night from me.
And it is good night from you.
Good night.
Good night. Am I going to see some action?